You are listening to WAT Vikings, a sport at WAT podcast. Hi, I'm Tom Grinsell.
And I'm Katie Redmond, and we're your hosts for episode 7 of the WAT Vikings Sport podcast. At WIT Viking Sport, we are getting down to the business end of things. Today we have guests from both our Athletics and Camogie clubs here to give us an overview of their season so far and to look ahead to their up and coming intervarsity competitions. We have Emmanuel Ogbonna and Aaron Tierney-Smith from the WIT Athletics Club. Emmanuel is the current PRO of the club, with Aaron on the fundraising committee. Both boys compete for WIT. From the WIT Camogie Club, we have past player and current selector Jackie O'Connor. Jackie has 2 Ashburn Cup medals to her name and was named on the Ashburn All-Star team back in 1999.
Seems like a long time ago now, Jackie.
Yeah, it's actually 20 years. Jeez. Today, the anniversary is 20 years since February, so it's actually crazy.
That's mad, isn't it?
So you're supposed to say, I don't look my age, Tom.
Yeah, no. just to start off, I'll just give you a brief overview of the WIT Camogie Club. So I suppose we're one of the most triumphant college clubs within the competition in recent times. We have 8 Ashburn Cups to our name, and that's including our famous 5 in a row between 2009 and 2013. And the most recent victory we had was in 2015. Where we claimed the title back then. So just to get going, Jackie, can you just explain to us what the Ashburn Cup is and how is it run?
So basically, the Ashburn Cup is the third level college's premium championship. So take, for example, this year there's 6 teams involved. You have UCC, UL, DCU, UCD, WIT and Mary Eye. So it was 2 group stages, so you had 3 groups, 3 teams in each group.
Yeah.
So basically the 2 top teams then play each other in 2 semi-finals, and the lowest teams at the bottom of each group then move to the Shield. So it's basically the premium of championships for third level colleges in Camogie.
Okay, and I suppose our main interest is, how have the WIT Camogie girls been doing to date? How has their year been going so far?
I suppose it's been a mixed bag in terms of our championship, but to be, I suppose, in December we won the league championship, which was a massive feat for ourselves, because UL had been undefeated in 4 years at the time. So for us to win that was great. So I suppose it's a step on now with our championship. So we faced UCC in our first match, and we were beaten by UCC down in UCC, and then we played UCD.
Yeah.
Mary Eye. So we defeated Mary Eye, and then we got into quarterfinal stages to where we played UCD last week. So we met UCD, and now we're in a semi-final against UCC.
So UCC are up next.
On Saturday.
Our semi-final then.
Yeah.
And what are WIT's hopes there? I suppose how are we looking? Are we?
Yeah, well, I suppose the girls are, like, they're performing really well in training. We've Tommy Shefflin, our manager, and Shane Dunphy from Waterford. He's from Tramore.
Yeah.
And they're putting them through their paces. The girls are really up for it. I suppose no one knows it at this stage. It's the team that wants it most, really. You might have all the stars in the world, but the thing about it is it's the heart and determination. And I think we have that within the girls. It's just producing it on the day, really.
Yeah, and it's really, it's different as well. We spoke about our Fitzgibbon Cup recently on our last podcast, and we were just saying how they took away the weekend competition, so it was now a semi-final 4 days before the final.
Yeah.
You still have the weekend competition. It's really a prestigious competition for Camogie. How does that work for the girls? I'm sure it's draining.
Yeah, well, it is obviously physically demanding on the body, but like at the end of the day, the girls know they have potentially 2 matches to win an Ashburn Cup.
Yeah.
So you put the fight up and you drive on. When we won all that way back in 99 and 2001, in 2001 in particular, we played UCC in the semi-final. They had beaten us in the league by 16 points prior to that. We played them in a semi-final, and there was girls came off the pitch absolutely exhausted against UCC. They couldn't, we had a lot of injuries that day. We played UL in the final, and we were 7 points down 5 minutes to go, and we won by 2 points. So it's just the way the competition goes. It's just you have to put it in your head that you want to win this, and it's who wants to win it most, and that's at the end of the day, that's what happens. Yeah,
it's getting that buy-in from the players too, because it's a different competition as well. You're getting probably the cream of the crop from intercounty coming to WIT and obviously UL and DCU and UCC as well, but It's getting them to blend together. Do you have any different ways of doing that? How do we get our girls to basically bond and?
Well, I suppose we have a great group of girls there. Like, if you take, for example, the likes of UL and UCC, UCC have a lot of Cork players.
Yeah.
Like, a lot, like, if you look down through their listing, it'd be like Cork and a few Waterford girls. UL have a lot of Tipperary, Limerick, and a few Clare. Ours is the most diverse. We have Offaly, Tipperary, we have Cork, Clare. So there's a whole load, a whole range of players there in terms of, like, They're all intercounty. A lot of them are playing either senior with their county or intermediate. But I suppose it's about if they have all the same work ethic, I think that bonds an awful lot of teams. So if you don't have the same work ethic and people are dragging their heels, it will cause, obviously, controversy within the camp. But I think the girls now have one main vision, one main goal, and that's to win Ashburn Cup. And that's what drives them on. And that's what the bond is, to win that.
And do the girls see it as the next step up to intercounty level? Do they see this as a real opportunity to showcase their skills and to put themselves in the window for their intercounty managers?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I suppose we've a lot of girls are on the fringes of the senior county panels. And I suppose the good thing about it is they have now a renowned manager in Tommy Shefflin that is actually playing the weekend, or his team Ballyhale are out in an All-Ireland semi-final the same day as we're playing an Ashburn semi-final. Yeah. So, like, the skills that he's bringing to the girls is totally different to what they're getting in county level. And I know that there's a few girls on our panel that are after making the breakthrough on the starting 15 of county teams due to the fact of the training that they have here. So, like, it's important. And I think the thing about it is, like, they learn different elements in college. Like, you'll never play anything like colleges, I believe, because you're mixing with other girls from different counties. And, like, you could be playing them on the pitch a week later and you're enemies. But when you get off the pitch, it's your friends again, like, you know. Yeah. So, but that's the good thing about it. That's the way colleges go.
That is huge, because these are people you would never dream of playing with when you're coming through a secondary school. And, you know, that change when you're moving into college, you're only used to playing with your club players and your county players, probably.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And everyone in your school is generally playing on them teams as well. So it's a big change. It's massive. And, like, yourself, Tommy, Shane, and
Ryan is involved as well.
And Ryan as well. You're doing great work with the girls. And just on your own experiences, how does it differ coaching to playing all the way back?
Well, I suppose, look, it's all, like, I suppose you did take different aspects of when I played many, many years ago now, Tom. You take different aspects of the coaching in with you from what you learned before. Yeah. So it's a different element, and it's a nice element too, because the body's not able to go when you reach a certain age to play. And so it's nice to go into the coaching side to take. And as well, it's nice to give an element of a back. Like, I know WIT were really good to me in terms of my Camogie career. So it's nice to give something back now to the students that are coming in.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm just going to touch on that All-Star award for yourself, saying in 1999, that must have been some feeling for you. And, like, there's an opportunity for girls to go on and do that as well. You know, if they reach an Ashburn Cup final and they win it as well. Like, so, you might just tell us what did that feel like when you got that at the time?
Yeah, sure. I suppose it's like it's a great accolade to get, but at the same time, you know, it's the team effort too, but it's nice to get the individual awards. But in terms of when we played in 99, there was seven of us freshers on that team. And I think four of us made the combined All-Star team at that stage. But, like, it was like the girls before us, they had got to this final and were narrowly beaten by UCC, or UL, sorry, and then we went on the next year to win it. So it was just unbelievable. The feeling was like, we got a Garda escort into Waterford. I remember we were in the dome for a few late in the night, but, like, it's all about that. Like, it's all about the winning too. Like, at the end of the day, like, you compete, but it is about the Ashburn Cup and winning that. That's what we want to win.
Yeah.
And that's what we hopefully, fingers crossed, can do the weekend.
And the memories live on then.
Oh, the memories live on, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
No, it's really interesting just getting to find out a little bit more about the competition. Just, we've had some unbelievable players come through WIT.
Yeah.
Would you just maybe give us an idea of the standard of player that has come through, the likes of Ursula Jacobs or Katie Powers or Denise Galls, you know, even players back before our time in WIT, you might be able to tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I suppose when I started in 99, there was a group of players there, the likes of, I suppose, Kate Kelly, Bridget Mullally, you had Michelle Fenley in the goal for us. Like, there was a lot of, like, we had a lot of prestigious players that were, like, you know, that you'd look back on now and say they were an absolutely fundamental part of their county in terms of what they've won in Everton, in terms of, like, you could say. But, and the likes then, you have Ursula Jacob, Katie Power, Sarah Ann Fitzgerald, massive names, like Denise Gall now, which is great to have her back with us.
Yeah.
But like they were, like, I think, like, you have Colette Dormer, the list goes on, really. She's like, you know, amazing, you can't actually, you know, pinpoint. And then there are the ones that weren't, the inter-county stars. You girls there that, I remember a girl, Aideen was her name, from Dublin, and she was playing cornerback on the 2001 team. No one knew her or no one knew of her. And she was marking Emer MacDonald, which she'd be an absolutely, you know, she's a prime player in Tipperary and still would be in club-wise. But she flicked the ball over Emer's head and we were there going, how did she do that? And, like, the thing about it is, like, it's not the players, the stars that shone out for a lot of our matches. It was the girls that wanted to win and to drive on and work hard. And, you know, that's the thing
that
as well.
That spirit is trying to build that over the course of the year or 2 or 3 years and getting as much as you can from it.
Exactly.
How have times changed with development officers? I know Katie is our current GA officer, but you've probably seen a good few over the years as well.
And I actually was one for a few months as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I suppose they've changed. Like, when I was here, I think Connor Power, or the GA development officer. Yeah, so we've seen a good few go through the, and Damien Young with Geraldine Canaan. So, look, it's all, like, at the end of the day, they're there to do a job, but at the end of the day, they have the welfare of the GA club at heart. And I think that's the main thing. And that's what makes the GA club so successful.
Yeah.
Anyone that we've there has a passion for GA, and I think that's the driving force behind
doing
it.
Doing everything to help you.
Oh yeah, of course. Like, you can, like, if you ask any player that has come through the ranks of WIT GA club, that they'll say they get the best, they looked after the best, like, in terms of what we provide, in terms of, like, the support they get, like physio, they get grinds, like, they're transported to and from matches, meal allowances. It's endless, like, you
it's
know.
Huge,
and I don't think they realise it till they're outside of it and that they've finished, that they realise, geez, the GA club put in some amount of, you know, time and effort to us, you know, so that's, you know, which is important.
There's inter-county teams that don't get that treatment.
No.
You know, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, it's great. And just to touch on it again, the finals weekend will take place in Mallow, GA. Semi-finals are on Saturday the 9th of February and the finals on Sunday the 10th. Hopefully we're there.
Hopefully.
But we'd just like to wish yourself, Jackie, Tommy, Shane and Ryan the very best of luck for the weekend, and we hope that the girls can produce the goods, and we'd like to wish them the best of luck as well. And we'd like to thank our sponsors as well, UPMC, who are contributing greatly to the club as well, and we just wish you the best of luck for the weekend ahead.
Thanks, Tom.
No bother. So we're now joined by Emmanuel Ogbonna and Aaron Tierney Smith from the WIT Vikings Athletics Club. Our athletics club will be taking part in the Irish University's Athletics Association indoor track and field event on the 8th of February in Athlone. And this is a one-day intervarsity championship open to all members of the IUAA. The first 6 athletes in each event score points for their college, and the college with the highest points score wins for the competitions. So we are just going to get the lads just to run through a little bit about themselves first and their roles within the club, and then we'll get more into the competition side of things. So, Aaron, we'll start with yourself. You're a member of the fundraising committee of the athletics club. Can you just tell us what that entails or what that involves for yourself?
There's 3 of us on it: myself, Denise O'Connor, and Dave MacDonald. And basically, we're just trying to come up with ideas as to how to kind of pump some money into the club to help us with paying for the banquet, or if we need a hotel for varsities and stuff like that. So just simple ideas like putting a bucket on a gate at a competition, or bringing in a watt bike to the auditorium someday and people can pay euro, see who gets the highest, that kind of thing. Yeah, so that's kind of our job.
Yes, and I've often seen you've ran speed gates as well and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so that'll probably feature sometime.
Engaging the students into the athletics club as well, yeah. And Emmanuel, your role is PRO of the club. What has that evolved recently, or how has that been going for you?
Yeah, that's just pretty much mostly just posting stuff on the Facebook page or the Instagram, just to let people know like of our athletes' performances, just because there's only two varsities, indoors and outdoors, but. Mm-hmm. With athletics, there's a lot of other competitions where, you know, people won't really know of someone's performance if they ran a PB in a small meet or in a Munsters or Leinster championships or junior championships, just to let them know that their performance, you know, is shown out there, and just to encourage athletes and just to keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just mentioned the juniors there. So you competed in the juniors last week.
Last week, yeah. Juniors and under 23s.
And under 23s. Yeah. How did that go for the athletics club?
Yeah, it was really good. We had Aaron here. He came second, got a silver medal in the 60 meter hurdles. And we had David McDonald also competing in 200 meters. He made it to the final, but he was ill. Denise O'Connor, she got a PB in the 400 meters. She came fourth in that as well. And we had some finalists as well, in Emily Nolan in the 60 metres and James Murphy as well in the long jump. So we have a lot of athletes there making finals. And
Jack Pender had a PB in the 400 as well, actually. He won his heat, but he was unfortunate not to make it to the final. But he had a big PB.
Very good. So a lot of PBs there, which is a lot of really athletes, positive. Yeah. And just yourselves, what event do you take part in?
I do the triple jump.
Triple jump.
So I'm mostly at the moment training just mostly sprints, just to get, you know, speed up and endurance as well.
Yeah.
And then technique training, so I do that as well with David Murphy down at the track as well. So Tuesdays and Thursdays we're at the track doing either the sprints or jumps as well.
Super. What about yourself, Aaron?
I do the hurdles and the 60 and the 200. So I'll be doing the hurdles at the varsities and the 60. The 60 wouldn't usually be my main event, but kind of just hopefully pick up some points for the college.
Yeah. And just if you can just let everybody know, what does the training involve? How many days a week are you training? Is it we'll start with you, Aaron. You're in your first year in WIT, so how has training evolved for you in that year?
Like me and David McDonald, we were stuck in Wexford kind of last year and all for our leave and starting. The training's so much different. Like, there's the level of intensity just takes a step up. It's really benefited both of us. Like, you can tell just in simple stuff like maxes in the gym or reps we'd be doing this year compared to what was last year and stuff, and it's very beneficial. Like, it's a lot. Like, we're 5-6 days a week kind of constantly at it, but it's really paying off.
Yeah. And what's just a big question for you, what's the end goal for yourself?
Just to kind of perform to the best all you can, really. And I know it's kind of a bit of a cliche, but it's just see what I can do and reach my best seven, whatever that is, then so be it.
That's good. And Emmanuel, you're involved with the club for the last 4 years. How have you seen a change, especially with the likes of Shane and the other coaches getting involved as well?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's grown a lot more. Obviously, since the building of the Witt Arena, it's really been good because there's a high performance area there for our athletes to go and train, and in the gym as well, in terms of lifting as well, and with the athletics track being built, just with a new track laid down on the Mondo, it's a lot better, just a lot faster, and just helps training a lot more, you know, with the gym and with athletics as well.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot more athletes coming from different areas in Ireland, so, and we have a lot from Waterford AC, the local athletics club as well, coming to to train and to represent the college as well. Yeah. So a lot of athletes from Waterford as well are coming to Witt as well, because just better facilities as well.
Which is great. It's great to have that partnership there as well. And just moving back to the intervarsities, how does it work? How many athletes have we attending? What events do WIT participate in? We'll start with yourself, Aaron. You might just give us a brief run through.
Yeah, well, we've 16 athletes going up, two of which are on their 1 year down. So basically they're finished their 4 years in college, but they get another year at the varsities. We kind of have a nice spread. A few lads in the field events like Emmanuel doing the triple jump. Few solid athletes in the 400 with Sean Donoghue and Jack Pender. Sean has the college record for the 400 indoor, so he'd be kind of hoping to lower that a bit. We've a good spread of athletes and stuff across everything.
Yes, great. And can you just tell us a little bit more on maybe our aspirations for the intervarsities, Emmanuel? How are we going to progress from the juniors last week and possibly competitions before Christmas? DSE is doing really well.
Yeah, I do, yeah. We had a couple of medals last year as well, and with Kean O'Brien, he's our high jumper as well. So he got a medal last year in the high jump in the outdoors and the indoors.
Mm.
So I'm sure he'll be hoping to do better as well this year. And we have some new athletes just in their in the first year of college who are on scholarship as well, who will also be aiming to add to our medal tallies, like Aaron as well, and some other athletes as well. So we'll definitely be, you know, because it's like peak time in the indoor season as well. Everyone's had a couple of races in, so I do see a lot of people with peak coming, getting to finals and getting PBs and getting medals for the club as well.
It'll be great, and hopefully we do. So we had Shane McCormack, our development officer, in for a podcast earlier in the year. He's also our sprints coach as well. But we were kind of touching on the Sunday morning sessions with Shane, and he was saying that you have to go to the mill and back. What are they like? Personally, I would love to just go and try it out, but I don't think I'd get out of life.
I think Aaron will know more about the Sunday sessions now than myself.
Might tell us a little bit about it, Aaron.
Yeah, I was kind of thrown into it because I'm a hurdler, so I'd always kind of be doing hurdle stuff, but the odd time I'm thrown into the Sunday session, it's hell.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing completely over distance, like 600s, 500s, that kind of thing, and it's just, you're just lactic riddled. By the end of it, you'll be getting sick, like hanging over a toilet. You barely able to walk. It's crazy. Like, it's very difficult. And like, the lads who are doing it week in, week out, they're just machines. Like, I'm lucky I only pop in once every month or so, but it's tough.
And how many would you have there? Like, it just...
Oh, sure, there's easily about 8-9 people there. And then, like, it's with that group there, it kind of helps, because if you're struggle on a rep that someone else would, it kind of favour them better. You can just kind of hang off them or that kind of thing. So it's a big help having the group around you.
And mentally, I'd imagine it's a big factor when you're going out, knowing that you've done all this work and all this preparation, and you have gone to places probably other athletes haven't gone, you know, they haven't been there before. So how does that stick in your mind?
It kind of just, it's a level of confidence like that you'll have, you know. Like, the work's been put in, there's nothing you can do about it now, just race, don't care about what he's done or what whoever else has done. Like, you know what you've put into it and how you've prepared, and it's a lot. It's like, we're definitely one of the only groups around that are doing kind of over distance, and it's paying off. Like, when you see the likes of forms like Phil is putting in and Sean is putting in good shifts over the four and stuff as well, so it's evident. Like,
yeah, it's serious going. And the club as a whole, what's the competitiveness in training like? Do you like getting one over on some of your the other athletes as well? Emmanuel, you might tell us a little bit from competing and viewing or spectating as well.
Yeah, I think we're all you know, it's a friendly competition, because we always want each other to do better, because obviously we all want each other to, you know, try and get a college record or put a statement, you know, when you leave the college that you do have a record there. I think the likes of Aaron here, he's chasing the hurdles record. I think it's held by, is it Jeremy? Jeremy Lyons. Lyons. So yeah, so obviously when you leave the college, there's a record there that shows, you know, your performance, that you were here and how well you did. So we have the likes of David McDonald, and he's our 100-meter sprinter, 200-meter sprinter. I'm sure he'll be aiming for records as well, held by David Hines as well. He was an international athlete, also coached by Shane McCormick in the 100 and 260 as well. And Phil as well. Phil, I think she has a record for the college as well, and she's going on to international and bigger things as well. Yeah. So it's just a friendly rivalry, you know, to push each other to get better results. Yeah,
it's brilliant to have that. Not every athletics club will have that competitiveness or rivalry there as well. You know, you're driving each other on, and I really admire what you're doing and what the club is doing, because you're making huge strides in the last couple of years. And just before we finish up, I just wanted to mention as well that Phil Healy was nominated for, or she was chosen to compete in the Millrose Games in New York, and that's a huge event for Phil. It's the world's longest running and most prestigious indoor track and field competition, and it's going to be televised nationally on NBC Sports, and that's on February the 9th. And as well, so that's a huge, I suppose, it's a huge honor to be training with someone of that caliber as well. And she's pushing Eon as well, I presume.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You don't want to be like, you're on a rep with her and you're like, I know she's brilliant, but I can't get bet by her on this rep.
Yeah.
So you're pushing yourself because she's right down your neck pushing, like, and it's amazing. She's running, like, it's up against like Gabby Thomas and all, who are like sponsored by New Balance and girls who are like Adidas, and she's gonna be wearing a WIT singlet.
Yeah.
Like, against all these people on national television in America. Like, it's amazing for her, obviously, like, and then even just representing the college, like, it's big, like.
And the country as well, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, representing Irish sprinting and, you know, Irish women sprinting as well. Obviously, I'm not sure if Ireland is, you know, big in, you know, international sprinting, but with Phil up there competing against world-class athletes, and, she's probably a world-class athlete becoming her herself. Yeah. And with, you know, the likes of Thomas Barr, he's also from Waterford, he's a top athlete as well, I think fourth in the Olympics as well. So just pushing Irish sprinting and up there, and obviously aiming, bringing the bar, you know, higher, and
yeah,
obviously to reach as well. As
no, it's brilliant. And I'm just going to finish it up there, and we just wish you the best of luck in the intervarsity competition on the 9th of February, or the 8th of February, sorry, for the indoors. And we hope you can break some PBs again and maybe bring home some medals. But we know it's all a building process too, and there will be a final goal at the end of it. And we just like to wish Phil the best of luck too at the Millrose Games in New York. And we just like to thank you for coming in as well, lads.
Lads, to yourself and to Jackie, many thanks for coming in today, and just to wish you all the best in the intervarsities on Friday the 8th of February. And Jackie, best of luck to yourself on Saturday the 9th of February in the semi-final against UCC. And that's a wrap for this episode. This podcast was brought to you by Wit Novus. Thank you for listening.
Thanks a million. Sorry. I kind of blanked there. I totally blanked.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, Tom, do you want me to finish?